Hello, welcome to your daily briefing, October the 20th, 2020. Let us pray. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for all of the blessings that you give us day by day. We thank you especially for allowing us to see the fulfillment of your word around us each and every day. We ask, Lord, that you would give us the strength to maintain our faith in you and to stand with you and for you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Well, today I'd like to share an article with you from the Church and State website. That's the Church and State website. The article was published on the 21st of December, 2018. The writer of the article is Betty Claremont, C-L-E-R-M-O-N-T. And one of the reasons that I want to share this with you today, it's very exhaustive with regard to an organization that we've been hearing a lot about recently. So the title of the article is Opus Dei's Influence on the U.S. Judiciary. Opus Dei's Influence on the U.S. Judiciary. And incidentally, just in case you need to know, Opus Dei is spelled O-P-U-S, one word, D-E-I. Second word, Opus Dei. Opus Dei influence on the U.S. judiciary. The article is found in the Church and State website. It was published on the 21st of December, 2018. And the writer of the article is Betty Claremont, C-L-E-R-M-O-N-T. Here's the article. Leonard Leo can take credit for installing four Supreme Court justices. John Roberts, Samuel Alito, Neil Gorsuch, and Brett Kavanaugh. As executive vice president of the Federalist Society, Leo has been the quiet architect of a pivotal shift to the right throughout the federal judiciary, including dozens of lower court federal judges across the country. It was Leo who prepared Trump's list of judges and the people that he's put on the bench. Leo is on the board of directors of Opus Dei's Catholic Information Center, located at 15th and K Street, two blocks from the White House. The center is a rallying point for ultra-conservative Catholics eager for a voice in the secular halls of government power and advances a hard-right political agenda, according to Church and State. Americans United for Separation of Church and State also examines a look at Opus Dei. Other members of the Catholic Information Center Board of Directors include Pat Cipollone, Trump's White House counsel, the president's principal legal advisor. Cipollone is a partner with Stein Mitchell and his law firm. And of course, you know, that was, if you've been watching the impeachment trial, he was one of the first and foremost lawyers that the president used. He is member of the Catholic Information Center. Another member, Jerry Mitchell, another partner in Stein Mitchell, Cipollone, Beto, and Michener. Their attorneys have unparalleled expertise in the federal courts, and before the Federal Trade Commission and Department of Justice, according to the firm's website. Brian Svoboda, let me spell that last name for you, S-V-O-B-O-D-A, Brian Svoboda, partner in Perkins Coie. The firm's area of focus includes political parties, campaigns and committees, corporate political activities, and campaign finance compliance. Its attorneys are admitted to the Bar and Court of the District of Columbia, U.S. Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia Circuit, U.S. Court of Appeals for the Fifth Circuit, and U.S. District Court for the District of Columbia. Now notice, I'm reading you a list of all of the people who are members of the Catholic Information Center. And these are members of the Board of Directors. And these are all men who've had a plan, a part of the plan of putting together the judiciary system that is now put in place. The next name Thomas Yannucci, Yannucci, partner in the Washington, D.C. office of Kirkland & Ellis, Brett Kavanaugh's former law firm. Yannucci has acted as trial and appellate counsel in suits involving the Department of Justice, the FDA, the EPA, the FTC, the SEC, etc., etc. The next name, Cindy Searcy, another vice president of the Federalist Society. The Federalist Society is a hugely powerful nationwide organization of conservative lawyers instrumental in developing candidates for federal judicial roles. Now, that's just some of the names of the people who are on the board of directors, but you notice that they're all Catholic and they all come from the same point of view. Continuing. Opus Dei is a secret society and an official arm of the Catholic Church. Its roots are in fascist Spain. Now, I'm reading the article from Church and State website published on the 21st of December, 2018. The writer of the article is Betty Claremont, and the title of the article is Opus Dei's Influence on the U.S. Judiciary. I just thought I would give you that again in case you just joined us. Let me read that sentence again. Opus Dei is a secret society and an official arm of the Catholic Church. Its roots are in fascist Spain. In 1982, Pope John Paul II designated the group as a personal prelature. That is, they are under the sole jurisdiction of the Pope and no other prelate. Its website states, Opus Dei's mission is to spread the Christian message that every person is called to holiness and that every honest work can be sanctified. As of 2017, there are 92,892 lay members and 2,212 priests worldwide. Now, let me pause here again. Notice what the article is saying here. It says in 1982, Pope John Paul II designated the group, that is Opus Dei, as a personal prelature. That is, they were under the sole jurisdiction of the Pope and no other prelate. Now, of course, let me pause to remind you that William Barr, the Attorney General, is Opus Dei. Mulvaney, the man who was Secretary of State and now is working overseas, also Opus Dei. Now, notice what it's saying here. These people are under the sole jurisdiction of the Pope. So the man who's making decisions in the Justice Department today, the Attorney General, is under the sole jurisdiction of the Pope and no other prelate. Now, that's amazing. Because, of course, one of these days we will go through the number of individuals in various positions who are part of that Opus Dei. And notice what it says their mission is. Opus Dei's mission is to spread the Christian message that every person is called to holiness and that every honest work can be sanctified. All right? Continuing. Non-Catholics are welcomed as cooperators who assist the educational and social undertakings promoted by the prelature. Priests not ordained into Opus Dei can be a member of the Priestly Society of the Holy Cross, intrinsically united to the prelature. Let me pause again. If you are going to be Opus Dei, you are ordained into Opus Dei. Continue. Only the identities of Opus Dei priests are public. Members of the Priestly Society of the Holy Cross and all lay members and cooperators' names are secret unless self-disclosed, such as being openly affiliated with the Catholic Information Center. Opus Dei is an efficient machine run to achieve worldly power, wrote investigative reporter Penny Lernoux in her book, People of God. Opus Dei pursues the Vatican's agenda through the presence of its members in secular governments and institutions and through a vast array of academic, medical, and grassroots pursuits. Let me pause again to repeat that. Opus Dei pursues the Vatican agenda through the presence of its members in secular governments and institutions, and through a vast array of academic, medical, and grassroots pursuits. So that, in other words, William Barr is not following Trump's agenda, but the other way around. He is actually responsible to one person and one person only, and that is the Pope. Continuing. Opus Dei's constant effort is to increase its presence in civil institutions of power. Their work in the public sphere breaches the church-state division that is fundamental to modern democracy, noted Gordon Uwekar, author of The Pope's Armada, Unlocking the Secrets of Mysteries and Powerful New Sects in the Church. Opus Dei uses the Catholic Church for its own agenda, which are money and power. Its members form a transnational elite. They seek to colonize the summits of power. They work with stealth, holy discretion, and practice divine deception, declared Robert Hutchinson in the introduction of his book, Their Kingdom Come, Inside the Secret World of Opus Dei. Opus Dei is mostly middle and upper class businessmen, professionals, military personnel, and government officials. Its members control a large number of banks and financial institutions, according to Martin Lee, author and activist who has written books and articles on the far-right movements. For example, Opus Dei also operates the Leontine Forum, cultivating Catholic professionals for lives and virtual leadership. Among the 2017 and 2018 New York City fellows are those employed in Wall Street brokerages, law firms, leading publications, universities, medicine, industry, and the U.S. District Court for the Southern District of New York. The 2017-2018 Washington, D.C. fellows include those employed in the federal government, White House, State Department, the House of Representatives, U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development. That sounds like HUD, right? And you know, well, anyway, let's not go there. Let's not go there right now. All right? So let me read that again for you. The 2017-2018 Washington, D.C. fellows include those employed in the federal government, White House, State Department, the House of Representatives, U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development, U.S. Department of Justice, Federal Communications Commission, U.S. Court of Appeals for the D.C. Circuit, U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission, prestigious law firms, conservative think tanks, and higher education and medicine institutions. As an example of military personnel, veteran investigative reporter Seymour Hersh claimed that General Stanley McChrystal, Vice Admiral William McCreven, and others in the JSOC were members of the Knights of Malta and Opus Dei. All right? Now, you know those names, and you see these men marching around and out front giving orders. So let me read that again for you. As an example of military personnel, veteran investigative reporter Seymour Hersh claimed that General Stanley McChrystal, Vice Admiral William McCraven, and others in the military area were members of the Knights of Malta and Opus Dei. JSOC is the elite special ops force who killed Osama bin Laden. We're going to change mosques into cathedrals. This is not an atypical attitude among some military. It's a crusade, literally, Hersh reported. He added that members of these societies have developed a secret set of insignias that represent the whole notion that this is a culture war between religions. Now, I got to stop again because I want you to get this. And I want you to know that even though it is a church and state website, it has nothing to do with Adventism whatsoever. These are people who have been watching what has been happening for years. And Betty Claremont is somebody who has been doing her research in the papacy for many, many, many years. And notice what she's saying here. She's describing the roles that they have taken, the secret roles that they have embraced. And you will find that when you look at these organizations and you read the book of Revelation, and you look at Revelation chapter 13, and then you go to Revelation chapter 17 and chapter 18, you realize that all of what you're hearing here is a fulfillment of all of what God has said before the organizations being described here were even existing. All right? Continuing. Opus Dei uses the Catholic Church for its own ends, which are money and power. Its members form a transnational elite. Opus Dei is mostly middle and upper class businessmen, professionals, military, etc. For example, Opus Dei also operates the Leontine Forum, cultivating Catholic professionals for lives of virtual leadership. Among the 2017-2018 New York City fellows are those employed in the Wall Street brokerages. Also, those in the Washington, D.C. area, we've seen them again in the U.S. Justice Department. And we also looked at those military personnel like Stanley McChrystal, Vice Admiral William McCraven, etc., etc. In government, Larry Kudlow is Trump's Director of National Economic Council. Plutocracy is just what America needs, Kudlow wrote in December 2016. Putting the incredibly wealthy in charge of the U.S. government is described as Kudlow's great idea. Kudlow is one of Father John McCloskey's notable converts to Catholicism. McCloskey was director of Catholic Information Center from 1998 to 2002. Now, of course, you know, Larry Kudlow is now working for the president. And, you know, he used to work for Fox News. But in all of the things that have been said about his biography, no one has ever mentioned his close connection to this organization. Continuing. Mick Mulvaney will serve as Trump's acting White House chief of staff beginning in 2019. He remains as director of Trump's White House Office of Management and Budget and interim head of the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. Mulvaney has reportedly met with a long list of lobbyists, corporate executives, and wealthy people with business interests before the government. His meeting with Opus Dei's Jeff Bell, architect of Reaganomics, covered religious and political matters. Trump appointed CFAM, which is an organization that works against abortion, etc., and it is also anti-LGBTQ. And that organization is headed by Opus Dei's Austin Rus to the U.S. delegation to the U.N. Commission on the Status of Women. As to members who control a large number of banks and financial institutions, Pope Francis has appointed many of them to the Vatican. Due to Opus Dei's secrecy, we can only guess about non-disclosing membership. Some have done so anyway. It's widely known that Supreme Court Justices Antonin Scalia, Samuel Alito, and Clarence Thomas belong to Opus Dei, and that Chief Justice John Roberts may also be a member, stated Matthew Fox, a former priest, progressive theologian, and author of more than 23 books. Others have also identified Scalia as a member, perhaps because his wife attended Catholic Information Center events and his son has spoken there. Scalia's influence, however, is not in doubt. The Federal Society really grew up as an organization that promoted Antonin Scalia's conservative judicial philosophy. On November the 10th, Trump awarded Scalia the Presidential Medal of Freedom, the highest civilian award in the U.S., for his especially meritorious contribution to this country. Alito has been also described as to close to Opus Dei by Church and State magazine. Some are linked by association. Leo has been a longtime friend and champion of Justice Clarence Thomas. When John Roberts was nominated for the court, Opus Dei's Austin Ruse said his fellow conservative Catholics could breathe easy. And Leonard Leo also assured conservative Catholics that Roberts will not follow the same path as Anthony Kennedy. Leo, perhaps the most integral private individual in the selection of Kavanaugh, was present at the White House ceremony when Trump announced Kavanaugh's nomination. Kavanaugh's legal thinking is shaped by Scalia. Well, we're going to stop there today because there's so much more to go. But I want you to understand that this is a very important issue. And notice the article comes from a religious website, but it's not Adventist Review. It is Church and State. And it was published back on the 21st of December, 2018. And the title of the article is Opus Dei's Influence on the U.S. Judiciary. Of course, it's pretty obvious where this is going to lead. And you and I have been warned about this consistently. We might not have been paying the kind of attention that we needed to, but I'm going to ask you today to zero in on what you're seeing happening. And one of the reasons why I read these articles is because I want you to know that this is not something that I am saying. I want you to know that there are people out there who have no connection whatsoever to your prophetic writings that are seeing things that are happening that are obviously the fulfillment of everything that God has given. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you continue to reveal to us those things that are happening. And we ask you, Lord, that you would help us to be diligent in our study. Help us to spend more time carefully planning what our future will be so that we will be ready for the time to come. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This has been your Daily Briefing, October the 20th, 2020.